welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Again, hello, welcome to episode 389 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb. No guinea pig this week, and my good friend Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm very good. By the time this goes out on air, I will have had a week off.
Woo!
But it's a staycation.
Yeah, a week off, but you're not allowed to go anywhere, right?
Yeah. We were going to go to Norfolk, but now it's just we can only stay at home.
Well, that's worse places to be, I'm sure, hey?
Yeah, that's fine. It's good. It's good. So we just get to know each other again. Hiya, who are you?
We're talking about uncertainty this week, which is, there's a lot of uncertainty about. Maybe there always has been, maybe there always will be. We'll come on to that in a bit. In the meantime, check out the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk, for all the show notes and links and Sean's blog post. What's prompted this one then, Sean? Is it just the general kind of chaos that envelops the world at the moment?
Yes, but there was a trigger. And the trigger goes back to Joe Biden.
Oh.
And me listening to the story of him living his life, doing his stuff,
yeah,
and his wife and his children go out in the car, and they didn't come back. You know, one, his wife and one of his children was killed,
yeah,
others badly damaged. But it's like, I was thinking about how we assume the solidity of life. We assume that it's kind of there and it's solid until it starts to shift and move. And we wave our family members off to work, to school, whatever, in the morning on the assumption that we're going to see them in the evening. And Joe did that and didn't happen. That idea that the world is a solid place doesn't exist. And
yeah,
quantum physics gets into this. It's like quantum physics says, if you look at, let's say, an electron, it depends on how you look at it. It can either be a waveform, it can be a particle, or it can be a field of energy, depending on how you look at it. And if you go to it expecting it to be one thing, it can be one of the others. Yeah?
We got really deep there quite quickly, and I'll pedal it back a little bit. But yeah, I mean, uncertain. Yeah, the Joe Biden story is quite fascinating, really. So I'll link to his Wikipedia entry. I also just this morning started listening to a podcast on BBC Sounds, which was a Sir David Frost, although he probably wasn't a sir at the time, interviewed Joe Biden in 1987, maybe 88.
Right.
I think Joe was about early mid-40s at the time, and he'd been a senator since the age of 29. I think he was the youngest ever senator, or one of the youngest. So it's quite fascinating to listen back to. I'm only halfway through it, but to listen back to what this guy was like. And he talks about the loss of his family and how that impacted him and where he was up to at that stage in his life. It's quite amazing, really. And even then, he was thinking, he just started thinking about having a run at the presidency, I think, in the late 80s. And, you know, it's taken him 30 years and he's got there in the end, I guess. It's amazing. But we all have uncertainty in our lives, don't we? We either kind of embrace it. I don't know if that's the right word. Or we're kind of aware that things can go wrong or things can take a funny turn at any point. But is that something that you should let dominate your thoughts too much? Or is it, I'm assuming not.
Well, I think it's double-sided. I think that to worry... one of my links is up to a psychology article, which was about how uncertainty or fear of uncertainty leads to obsessive compulsive behaviours. You know, people want to kind of turn the lights on and off and get everything sorted so they know they're safe. But on the other side of it, if we become too relaxed into the idea that the world is always going to be the way that it is, then we become complacent. And when we become complacent is when things start to fall apart. Like when you become complacent about your partner, that kind of thing, you know, it's like the assumption is they'll always be there. You can do what you want. They'll always be there. and then one day they're not, and then that's like, bloody hell, that's different. And that, I think overall, is the idea that things will always be the same. No, they're not. No, and that uncertainty about what will be, but we don't know what the will be is.
I know. Well, yeah, we've all had to deal with a crazy amount of uncertainty in the last, whatever, 8-9 months, the likes of which most of us have never experienced. And it's been amazing, fascinating time. Like I've got through it okay, but we've now reached the point. So just as we're recording this, but it'll probably be like a week and a bit ago since when by the time this goes out, there's a lot of chatter on the news now about vaccine. Being pretty close to complete and signed off and potentially rolled out to 40 million doses to the UK population. So now I'm getting nervous because I'd kind of prepared myself mentally for a much longer period of uncertainty. So now I've got uncertainty on top of uncertainty because I'm thinking, oh, I thought we had way into next year, maybe even longer till things were back to normal. Now they might be back to normal in a month or two. What am I going
to
do?
Now you see, I want to bracket that complacency because it's now easy to think, okay, right? If you actually look at the vaccines that are available, it takes 2 shots of vaccine and there aren't enough doses around to give everybody 2 shots. But the 2 shots are like 28 days apart, 30 days apart, and then you have to wait 14 days to get the effect. So you're up to 42, 44 days before you're going to have an effect from that vaccine. So even if the vaccine does start to work in January, say, yeah, if we start running out in January, it's still not going to be effective until February or March. And that's assuming there's enough doses already. But the complacency bit, and this is the bit about people don't want the uncertainty of we don't know, as we now say, it's all going to be all right now, isn't it? So we don't need to wear masks and we're going to go out and socialise because we're going to get a vaccine. Who cares? It's fine. It's great. Yeah. And that's when the uncertainty rule comes into play and we can be stuffed. You know, it's like, yeah. You know? So my thing is that, yes, we need to learn to live with uncertainty. I put a quote in the blog. One of my teachers once said to me, I was talking about uncertainty and enlightenment and all that kind of stuff. And he said to me, enlightenment is living with total uncertainty and being totally secure.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And that sense about the universe isn't a certain thing. It's moving and changing and doing all kinds of stuff. We assume the planet Earth is solid. You know, we can assume that the Earth under our feet is solid until a volcano erupts and suddenly it's not solid at all.
Mm. Or you know? a sinkhole, every now and again you see a story where a sinkhole appears in 30 feet wide in Mexico or something like that.
Yeah, and then people disappear. Yeah.
There's probably an asteroid with our name on it out there, some that isn't there, that's kind of got its target locked on planet Earth for who knows what year. But I guess, yeah, you can come to terms with that and live with it, knowing that it will happen at some point. It might be 10 years down the line, or it might be a million years down the line. We've got to crack on and enjoy our lives regardless, eh?
But there will be people, because I get people like this all the time, who are developing the anxiety and fear of doing, you know, like say if they could, they booked a holiday flying away next summer. And they're starting to get anxious about it now, you know. Now, the thing is, I don't know. I spend my life, well, I haven't lately, but I have spent my life flying around, like doing the Middle East stuff and stuff like that. And Ree drops me off at the airport. Now, I assume when we get in the car, I have this certainty principle that we're going to get to the airport. We might not. And then when we get to the airport, I get on the plane and I have this certainty that we're going to fly and land in Doha, but we might not. You know, we know of people getting on planes and not coming back, people going in cars and not coming back. Now, the thing is that uncertainty is with us all the time, but it's a case of do we actually work with that and be aware of the uncertainty, but do it anyway? You know, like that feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm obsessed with this car stuff. So the uncertainty around your trip to the airport and your trip to Doha are fascinating because, like, generally speaking, there will be a higher proportion of people that would be more concerned and stressed about the Doha bit, the flight, you know, flying whatever, however many thousands of miles in at 700 miles an hour or 500 miles an hour, whatever it is. Whereas the trip to Manchester Airport in the car is by far the more dangerous part of your journey. And yet people will be less uncertain and nervous about that bit. So what's all that about?
But it's perception, isn't it? It's like we assume when we get in the car, and this is a certainty thing again, we assume that when we get in the car, we're in our own environment, we're in our metal box, it's our space, and that feels safe. Yeah. Mm. Now, when you work with people that have been in a car accident, especially if they were hit from behind when they weren't expecting it, yeah, so it came out of the blue, as it were, and smacked them one, yeah, then they're living in uncertainty because now they're no longer certain that this space, this environment that they're driving around in is safe. Mm. So now they're fearful. Every time something comes near them, they jump in and they go, they have hyper alertness and awareness and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man. People are fascinating, aren't they? Endlessly. I mean, coming back onto like political stuff, I like to think I'm quite zen now about politics, you know, because I've been bitten twice in the last 4 or 5 years, Brexit and the Trump vote. And both times I kind of stayed up quite late watching the results coming in. And I could see it happen in slow motion. And it was, you know, I woke up, I went to bed, whatever, 2, 3 in the morning, knowing that when I woke up, I was going to get some pretty, from my perspective, some pretty horrendous news, and it did come to pass. This time with the Trump-Biden election, I know it was saying that Biden was going to win it the whole time, but I still had this feeling that Trump was going to sneak it, and he nearly did, and he still might, actually. I mean, there's all sorts of weird stuff going on out there about the elections, but yeah. I think it'll be all right. Anyway, but this time I was quite zen about it, and I think I've managed to bury my emotional attachment to decisions that I have no control over, because I didn't vote in the American election. So like, what's the point in getting stressed about it and worrying? I think in quite a positive way, I've kind of removed my emotional connection from that. Is that a good thing, I assume, or should I be more connected to these things?
My teacher would always say to me, you have to learn to sit on the bank and watch the river of life go by. Don't get wet, don't get washed away in the currents. Allow it to happen. You can't change it. You can't dam the river. It's going to flow. Now, to me, I'd get on the plane to go to Doha, and to me, it was like getting on a bus, you know, and like you're saying, the bus was probably more dangerous, but I'd get on the plane and there'd be people doing the white knuckle. And they'd be going, you can see them, oh my God, oh my God. And as we go round and round, my God, dum, 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 dum. And we take off, and as you could see people. And the ones that were just kind of like, you know, chilling back and listening to some sounds and having a good time, and the people that were anxious. The deal is, when you get on a plane, every time I get on a plane, I don't know when it's going to get to the other end. I might find myself going 7 miles from up in the air down to the ground. I can remember one day where there was a bit of turbulence, it was bouncing around a bit, and I was working out the height we were at and how long it would take us to reach the ground, and wondering if we were free falling out of the sky like that, whether I'd have time to actually ring Rhi on the phone and say goodbye before I went.
It was that bad. It was that bad, the turbulence.
Yeah, it was looking that way. But obviously it didn't. Mm. And I worked out that I probably could. As long as the probably the sound of people screaming would have got in the way whilst I was trying to talk to them. Yeah. But there would have been enough time.
I'm just sorry you didn't think about calling me. Was I on your list?
You were second on my list.
I would have made a great episode, the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, right, yeah.
any last tips, Sean?
Yeah. Don't fly on a plane. Yeah.
I'm going to link to
no, like the issue of
Go on.
If you think about that, the amount of times recently we've got somebody who's got kind of air pipes up their nose from a bed in ITU, and this is Fred Smith, who thought the virus was a complete hoax and never bothered to wear a mask. And now he's like, they're going, everybody believe it's real, wear your mask, don't you? You know what I mean? And it's like certainty, uncertainty, you know?
Yeah. I guess sometimes we've got to learn lessons the hard way, haven't we? There's a couple of articles I'm going to link to about uncertainty and dealing with it. One of which is kind of linked directly to the virus, the pandemic, which engulfs, you know, everything at the moment, which is quite fascinating. But it talks a lot about, or both of them talk about, kind of having the wisdom to know what we are in control of and what we don't have control of.
Well, I use the poem, which is the classic poem. It's a prayer, which it tends to be used by alcoholics. But it is a very ancient prayer, which forgetting the religious bit, but in the purest sense, the prayer is, God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, as in living the present, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, up to you on the religious bit, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy and forever in the next. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, if you take the religious-y bits out of that, you can keep them if you like, it's the issue about you can't change things. You know, and trying to change things that you can't change really doesn't help. You know, it's like I think people on the plane who are trying to hold the plane up.
Yeah.
To actually keep it up in the air because they're scared it's gonna fall out of the sky. You know?
Or
and everybody knows it's angels that are holding up anyway. We all know that.
Yeah, you've seen a passenger in a car like. You've seen them kind of pushing the imaginary brake in the footwell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's really weird if you're driving and you've got a passenger who keeps pressing the pedal. It's like,
Brilliant. I don't see that. I don't like being driven around. Actually, like, I hate cars, as people know. But when I do drive our car or when I get, I don't like being a passenger. So it's nothing really to do with Bethan's driving. She's, you know, pretty competent. It's just we all have our own unique way of driving and kind of approaching junctions and situations. And if it's not done your way, it can be, yeah, I probably am guilty of pushing the imaginary brake in the footwell.
Well, my attitude is obviously no one drives as well as I do. I know that. But when I am a passenger with someone else, I'm fairly easy about it. You know, if we're going to die, we're going to die. I don't have that kind of worry about it. It's like, you know, the only thing I'd like to do is to die quickly. I can remember a band, and one of the guys in the band in the van had tied his neck to a post. And when asked why, he said, it's because this driver's so crazy that when he crashes this, I want to die instantly. I don't want to be disfigured.
But it's just finally then at one point I want to mention is about acceptance about other points of view. It's something I've been trying to get better at in recent months, actually, in terms of following other political views and trying to dive in a little bit deeper as to why people might think a certain way and act a certain way to a point, you know. Accepting and being tolerant's the word I was looking for. Tolerant of other ways of doing things, again, will help with your uncertainty in life, isn't it? Isn't it?
And I think some of that is allowing other people to get things wrong. You know that they're going to get it wrong, but you also know that if you do that, you're going to get it wrong. They're going to go, shut up, there, you know. So you have to let them get there in their own time, but then not say, I challenge you, so. afterwards, you know, that's
well, I've got that written in my notes actually about Brexit and stuff, because that's coming to a bit of a head now in the UK, as if we haven't got enough going on at the moment. Is it January officially we leave or something? Happens in January.
31st of December.
Okay, right. So I've got serenity about that now. But what I've written down is that part of it is I know it's going to shit. And a lot of everything's going to shit. So it's like, I will be able to say, told you so. And I'll be able to get just a tiny little bit of pleasure from that. But I am open to the idea that maybe it will all be fine as well. And the world will keep on spinning. And, you know, who knows?
The thing is that if it's going to go tits up, it's going to go tits up, whether I lie awake going, oh my God, or not, it's still going to happen. So I'd rather go to sleep and then deal with it when it does happen.
Yeah.
I mean, rather than worrying about it.
Yeah, well, I went out for the recent election in America. I went to bed quite early. I didn't stay up too late to watch it. In fact, when I went to sleep, I can't even remember. It was really on a bit of a knife edge still. And even when I woke up, it was still saying it was looking quite good for President Trump, actually. But then I quickly did a bit of maths, and the BBC did a bit of maths, and they, because it was really looking like Trump was going to get it again. But then they did some maths on it, and I was like, oh, no, Biden's going to get it, surely. And it took a few days to kind of for everything to settle down, but got there in the end. But I went to sleep quite early that night, and I slept pretty well, regardless of what was going to happen. It was like serenity now, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Crazy, eh?
Yeah. Fun times. Have you got a resource to mention?
I've put two in.
Oh, yeah.
One is a blog from Psychology Today, which is about living with uncertainty. And lots of people that have uncertainty create obsessive compulsive behaviours to deal with them. It's talking about dealing with those. And the second one is from Stanford University, which is about the uncertainty principle, which is if you're into science and quantum, it's an interesting thing to read. You know.
Well, all right. I'll link to the... And I'm going to link to the Joe Biden interview, the David Frost one from the late 80s, because it's an interesting interview, whether you like the guy or not. And he's had quite a bit of uncertainty in his life, especially early on, which has shaped his thoughts and thinking, I'm sure. But he seems like a good egg on the whole. Cool. All right, Sean.
But maybe he's learned to live with uncertainty. Mm. And poor old Trumpy wants the certainty of I am the boss and I am there, and they can't live with the uncertainty. Maybe I'm not.
Yeah, maybe, man. Yeah, he does like things. I'm sure he likes a good amount of certainty in life, and he's had the rug pulled from under him, hasn't he? But hey ho.
Yeah. No, that's good.
That's good. All right, cool. We'll catch up next week, Sean. You take care. Yeah.
Keep smiling. I'll see you.
Have fun. See you later.
See ya. Bye. Bye.